Welcome to the CVMI Open Door Podcast with Pastor and Teacher Jamie Gizzi. We trust that you will be blessed as we study the Word of God through its context, history, and word studies. It's time to walk through the threshold of the open door. Now, here's your teacher, Pastor Jamie Gizzi.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the CVMI Open Door Podcast. It's Pastor Jamie back with you again. We are excited about this teaching today. So we want to get through the pleasantries and the greetings real quickly, and we'll get started with this. Again, we want to thank you for tuning in and supporting the CVMI Open Door. We thank you for your support for Calvary's Victory Ministries in general and for Crosshairs in Bridgeport, West Virginia. We look forward to this, folks. We look forward to the opportunity to speak with you, share the Word of God, and hopefully you can take something and maybe learn something new through each one of these episodes and each one of these teachings. Real quickly, for those of you that this is your first time tuning in, if you'd like to write to us or support us in any way, you can do that by email. You can email us at cvmiwv@gmail.com or by writing to us at CVMI 84 Front Street, Lost Creek, West Virginia 26385. You can follow us on the Facebook page. We have two options, Calvary's Victory Ministries Incorporated and CVMI Open Door Podcast. You can also reach us through the church page at Crosshairs Bridgeport. All kinds of ways to get a hold of us, folks. So we look forward to hearing from you. Comments, questions, concerns, just however the Holy Spirit would lead you. But I want to get started with this because this is going to be a little bit time-consuming, and this is going to be a little bit deep. I have been doing a lot of research here lately. I've been watching some videos of some ministers, listening to the podcast. Matter of fact, I'm going to be mentioning one here in a little bit that I just discovered this past week. I have been studying about a topic called deconstructionism. I almost said destructionism. Deconstructionism. I want to get into that a little bit today, and I also want to get into offenses, and I want to get into something that is a phrase that is relatively new to me, but it is extremely true, Christian atheism. And as we get going with this, I'll discuss that in more detail, and hopefully we can shed some light on some things today. So again, thank you. Welcome to the CVMI Open Door Podcast. This is Pastor Jamie. We're going to get rolling here today. I want to start in Galatians chapter 1. I want to start reading to you in verse number 6. We're going to take a little bit of time with this today, and I'm going to share some word studies with you. And we're going to dive into this pretty deep, so just sit back and enjoy. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." I want you to go back with me to verses 6 and 7, and I want you to look at a little bit of what Paul's saying here. He's speaking, now again, you got to keep in mind, folks, this is a little less than 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this letter. And he is speaking about people departing the true gospel of Jesus Christ and deserting him, the one who called them, God himself, the one who called them by the grace of Christ. They're deserting him for a different quote-unquote gospel. Now, the word different here in the Greek is it's the Greek word heteros or heteros, depending on exactly how it's pronounced. But that word, by definition, means some other kind or type. Now, listen to this, with more emphasis on dissimilarities. So this is what we would call the opposite. We could even call it the antonym of what the true gospel is. This again, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different kind or type with more emphasis on dissimilarities. That type of gospel. And he says in verse 7, it's really not another. He says, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So he says that this gospel that he's addressing in verse number 6, he says that it's not a gospel at all. It's for sure not the true gospel. But he says that there are some who are disturbing you and they want to distort the true gospel of Christ. Now, the word disturbing in Greek is the Greek word tarasso, and it means to cause one inward commotion. It means to take away calmness of mind. This is Thayer's definition, to take away calmness of mind. The Complete Word Study Dictionary says it's tarasso is a word that means disturb with various emotions. So again, we see here that he says that there are some who disturb you and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. So they want to teach you something that's going to cause you to stir up inside. It's something that not only is it going to affect you emotionally, not only is it going to affect you mentally, but it's also going to affect you spiritually to the point where you begin to question things. Now, I want you to understand me, folks, questions are not wrong. We all have questions. We all have things to which we need answers. But he says that this type of teaching that causes these types of questions is meant for the sole purpose in verse 7 of distorting the gospel. The Greek word here is metastrepho, and it means to corrupt or pervert. So it's not trying to initiate questions that will cause people to walk in a closer walk with Jesus Christ, but it's something that can cause enough questions to corrupt or pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a current movement, and I just heard about this within the last year. The truth of the Bible, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of fundamental Christianity. And I want to say, when I reference fundamental Christianity, I'm talking about true Bible-based Christianity, not necessarily the doctrine or the teaching under which I was raised, but I'm talking true biblical Christianity. There is a movement right now that is trying to distort the truth of the word, and this movement is called deconstructionism. Deconstructionism. Now, I'm going to reference him again here in a few moments, but we have a staff member, one of our members of the board of our directors here at CVMI, Pastor Evangelist Carrie May. Something that he says all the time, and it's something that you hear me quote, and I always give credit to him for saying this, but when picture the truth being a central point, and then picture a pendulum over top of that central point, and if you swing that pendulum too far to one side or the other, it causes error. So we want to stick with the truth. So I want to say this. Now, I have shared with you all in the past that I grew up in a Pentecostal home. I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And this is not a reflection of the individual or the individuals that I was raised under. It's a reflection of the times, I guess you could say, when I grew up in the throughout the 80s into the early 90s. There was a lot of questions that I had about the gospel that I heard, the Jesus that I was taught. And I ended up finding out that I grew up believing that God hated me. I grew up believing that every little thing I did was going to send me to hell. The generation before me has some of those folks have shared stories with me where they couldn't go bowling, they couldn't go hang out with friends because if they did, then that was a sin. Just hanging out with friends, just going bowling for crying out loud, folks. That it was a sin and it was going to send them to hell. And I got to the point when I was 17, 18 years old and fighting depression, like you wouldn't believe a circumstance that had happened involving my grandmother had pushed me over the edge and caused me to slip into depression. And I believed that God hated me. I believed that there was no hope for me. So in 2002, November 2001, when I got saved and then going into the early part and middle of 2002, I wanted to discover who God really was. And I found out that a lot of the things that were attributed to Jesus when I was growing up didn't necessarily line up with the Word of God, who Jesus truly is. So when we deconstruct, let's say it this way, when we deconstruct legalism, we're talking about one thing. When we deconstruct a false teaching, a false gospel, that's one thing. But now the other side, here's this pendulum has swung into a side point, and now this movement, this current movement called deconstructionism, is creating a twisted take on the truth of the Word of God. And what deconstructionism is in its heart, at its very core value, is it raises questions such as this. Yes, I know that's what the Bible says, but is that necessarily what God meant? Now, I'm not talking about this going back to what I share, my experience. I'm not talking about deconstructing what was false to find the truth. This movement today is taking the truth and trying to deconstruct it to make the truth into a lie and to make a lie truth. Now, I remember reading in the Bible somewhere in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, where God's word says, "Woe unto them who call good evil and evil good." There's people today that have made comments that God has to adapt to the times, that God has to adapt to the 21st century generation, that We folks, let's just be honest. There's people today that call themselves Christians, but they are trying to create God in their image, not allow God through the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be conformed into His image and His likeness. No, we want God to be what we say, because if we can get God to be what we say, that we can justify every little thing we do that stands in direct contradiction to the Word of God. So again, this question that deconstructionism raises is, we know the Bible says this, but is that necessarily what God meant? Now, I want to read a quote. I got some references here today that I want to share with you. The Family Research Council put an article out. This article is dated April the 6th, so this is only 3 days old. And you can get on their website and you can find it. The title of the article is, I am the Master of My Faith, How Dumping Christianity is Trending. Now, in this article, I don't have the author's name. It just says that it was written and it was posted on the FRC website. I actually got it from an aggregate website, but I went and confirmed it with Family Research Council. So this is a legitimate article from them. But I want to read some quotes. And I can't pronounce this guy's last name, or I don't know the exact pronunciation of this guy's last name. But there's an individual that is interviewed for this article, and his name is Dr. Owen. I don't know if it's Strachan. The last name is S-T-R-A-C-H-A-N. Now, this guy is a senior fellow with Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview. Now, I want to read just a portion of this article to you, and this is a direct quote. It says, this deconstruction movement recruits from the ranks of Christian celebrities, musicians, and young impressionable evangelicals. And then Dr. Strachan, or again, however you pronounce it. Well, I'm going to say Dr. Strachan so you know who I'm speaking of. He said this, quote, deconstruction is not sound. Deconstruction will ultimately lead to destruction itself. Talking about this current move, taking the truth and deconstructing it to make it fit an agenda or fit a narrative. He says, not everyone agrees with that, however. For its defenders, Strachan explained, deconstruction means the process of challenging what you have been taught with the goal of establishing an authentic faith. Although this slippery term means nearly all things to all men. Despite the innocuous sounding definition, deconstruction gives you license to doubt the Christian faith, to doubt the Word of God, and to turn your back on your parents' generation and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ more broadly, warned Strachan. It often ends up being an on-ramp to leftism and takes its cues from the LGBTQ revolution. Deconstruction has 20th century roots in philosophers like Foucault, I don't know how to pronounce that name either, and, here's another one, Derrida, founders of queer theory and postmodernism, respectively. This is a direct quote from the article. None of this means that Christianity prohibits honest questions, doubts, and fears. And I can understand because that's what I just shared with you, my experience. My experience was not to tear down the Bible, not to tear down Christianity, but to basically to figure out what I was being taught as a young man. Did it line up with the Bible or was it a man-made doctrine? Well, again, I found out that what I heard was man-made and didn't really line up with Scripture at all. Now, I was not taught anything that took away from the cross, that, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins. I was not taught anything like that. I was taught that the blood atonement of Jesus Christ at the cross, I was taught that. It was just other little things that, like I said, feeling like God had a hammer and was going to hit me over the head every time I messed up, every time I thought something. And I was raised thinking that God hated me. And I ended up finding out later on, 7 years later, that God loved me. He didn't love my sin. He didn't love what I was doing as a 20-something. But I found out that God's grace would help me and would bring me into the truth of the gospel and find out that, you know what? Yeah, I may make mistakes, but as long as I strive to live according to the Word of God, as long as I strive to follow God as a dear child, I didn't have a gold card, folks, to live my life the way I wanted to. I didn't have a platinum get out of jail free card that I could just live a life of sin. No, I knew that I had to separate myself from this world, that I had to cut off the world and start living according to the Spirit. Now, do I mess up? Do I have my moments today at 45 years old? You better believe it. I don't walk on water. But there is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that when I get out of line, He's quick to draw me back to repentance. See, deconstructionism in its current definition, a lot of folks say that, well, there's no such thing as repentance. There's no need to repent because we're all God's children. God is love. Well, yeah, God, according to the Bible, God is love. But God does not condone sin. God does not condone unrighteousness and unholiness. Let's stop kidding ourselves. If God in His Word says that something is a sin, it's still a sin, folks. In 2022, it's still a sin. The definition hasn't changed in God's eyes. But mankind, however, has taken it upon themselves to put themselves on a throne equal to or greater than God in their estimation. And it's causing a lot of problems. It's more proof, folks, that we are living in the apostasy of the last days as prophesied by Jesus Christ, by the Apostle Paul, by the Apostle Peter, by John the Revelator. Paul said in the last days, men would not endure sound doctrine. but they would turn to teachers having itching ears. They would turn to, they would be seared in their consciences, and they would turn to doctrines of men that would be appealing to them, that would condone and justify living a sinful life. Let me continue with this article here. Again, none of this means, quote, none of this means that Christianity prohibits honest questions, doubts, and fears. The difference is what we do with them. Deconstruction encourages you to become the arbiter of what is true and the master of your faith, says Strachan. It denies the authority of God and His Word and promotes self to the godlike task of curating your own personal religion, just as you do your smartphone. Genuine Christian faith, and here's where I stand today, folks. Genuine Christian faith, by contrast, brings challenges and struggles before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. It cries with the Father, I believe, help my unbelief, Mark chapter 9, verse 24. The difference carries over from belief to practice. Any church, listen to what Dr. Strachan said. Any church worth its salt is going to teach you that you need to not conform to yourself or to the world, but you need to conform to the Scripture and specifically to the image of Jesus Christ. And folks, personally, that's what I did almost 20 years ago. I wanted to conform to who Jesus is. I wanted to conform to what the Bible says about how to live my life, how to be pleasing to my Heavenly Father. True, listen, let me read it. This quote is so powerful and so profound. He says, any church worth its salt is going to teach you that you need to not conform to yourself or to the world, but you need to conform to the Scripture and specifically to the image of Jesus Christ. That's where every Christian is seeking to do by the grace of God, said Strachan. Deconstruction sounds similar, but what it actually executes is something quite different. Most deconstructors embrace the culture approving sexual anarchy, then denying hell, then embracing universalism, and eventually becoming functional atheists. Dr. Strachan goes on later on in this article, and let me just read this. It says, Dr. Owen Strachan further insisted that the quote-unquote deconstruction movement is in stark contrast to biblical or to Bible instructions like those given in Acts 17:11. Deconstruction encourages you not so much to be conformed to the image of Christ, but to be conformed to the image of your own self-chosen faith. You become the master of your faith. It encourages you to become the arbiter of what is true and what you think is best about the Christian faith, he added. We should always be seeking to think about our lives and our beliefs in light of Scripture. In Acts 17:11, that's what the Bereans did. They heard of the apostles and considered them according to Scripture. That's biblical deconstruction. Then, strangely enough, the end of this article concludes with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is from the King James. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And then 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We also see that again, one last scripture reference in this article, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, folks, when you truly find God, when you're truly seeking after Him, you're going to find out that there is this battle between flesh and spirit. I'm sorry, between flesh and spirit. And folks, if we're going to truly live for God and we're truly going to follow after God, then we've got to sacrifice our wants. Flesh has to go, and we have to walk according to the Spirit. The Bible doesn't say that the Holy Spirit bears record with our flesh that we are the sons of God or the children of God. No, it says that the Holy Spirit bears record with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters, the children of God. See, I wanted to find out what the Bible truly said. I wanted to find out who Jesus, I wanted to find out who the Father, I wanted to find out who the Holy Spirit truly was. Not because of what someone's opinion was. Not because of this is what I was taught growing up, so you just accept that. You know, folks, in my journey, I found out that God's not worried about the clothing that I wear. God is more concerned about my spirit. You know, we have a Christianity that says that if you don't wear a certain type of clothing. Listen, I'm sitting behind this microphone today with a baseball cap on backwards. And if you've ever seen me wear a baseball cap, you know I wear them backwards. But there are people today that will tell you that I can't be teaching the Bible wearing a baseball cap, and for sure can't be wearing a baseball cap backwards. I've got tattoos on my arms that I got before I was saved. Now, I know there's a big question, a big controversy. What's your take on tattoos? Listen, that's up to you. That's between you and God. That's your conviction. I've got reasons that I can say that I'm not opposed to it, but I also have reasons to say that I am. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't believe for one second that my backwards hat and the tattoos on my arms or the clothing that I'm wearing, a pair of sweats and a t-shirt and a pair of tennis shoes. I don't think that limits the power of God, and I don't think those things limit the power of this message. Those are the types of things, listen, when all I could get was suits and ties and fancy dresses and hearing this and hearing that only certain styles of Christian music folks, I grew up in a time where if it wasn't an old hymn or Southern gospel, that you were on your way to hell. This was the kind of stuff that I was trying to get away from. I wanted to know who Father, Son, and Holy Spirit truly was, based on not man's opinion, not man's doctrines, but on the Word of God. Now we have this movement today where now, instead of trying to find who God really is, we're trying to find how we can become gods. Folks, I've heard messages preached in the last 10, 15 years where people are promoting a gospel saying that we are little gods, that we're on equal footing, and I could get into the root of that. But that's not what we're talking about here today. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of false doctrine that's out there. There's a lot of doctrine that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And, as a pastor, as the head of an apostolic structured ministry, a fivefold ministry, these things are concerning to me. These things are concerning to me. And they should be concerning to you. Let me read another quote from an article here. I just discovered, same day, this article is from February 18th of this year, but I just discovered this person. As a matter of fact, this name is also in the FRC article. And I did some research into this young lady, and I'm telling you what, folks, if you've never heard of her before, you need to check her out. Her name is Alisa Childers. She is a Christian apologist. She wrote a book, and I'm going to give this book the name. I'm going to give you some recommendations at the end of this podcast, and I want you to check this girl's website out. Listen to her podcast. We listened to one episode of her podcast just yesterday, the very first one she ever did, and I'm telling you, what a powerhouse for Jesus Christ! What a powerhouse for Christianity! But I want to read this. This is from an article that she wrote. It looks like maybe from her blog. February 18th, 2022, Alisa Childers, Why We Should Not Redeem Deconstruction. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is directly her words from this article. Quote, many years ago, my Christian beliefs were challenged intellectually by a progressive Christian pastor. It threw me into deconstruction that took several years to fully come out of. I found out later that he himself had already deconstructed and had hoped to propel his congregation into deconstruction so that he could convert them to progressive Christianity. He was very good at it. In fact, he was almost totally successful. A few of us came back around to a historically Christian understanding of the gospel, but most did not. Because of this, when quote-unquote deconstruction stories started popping up in my social media newsfeed, along with hashtags like ex-evangelical and deconstruction, I paid attention. I've been following along, seeking to understand what people mean by those words. I witnessed a hashtag turn into a movement. As of today, February 18, 2022, Ms. Childers says this, There are 293,026 posts on Instagram utilizing the hashtag deconstruction. The vast majority are from people who've deconverted from Christianity, become progressive Christians, embrace same-sex marriage and relationships, rejected core historic doctrines of the faith, or are on a mission to crush the white Christian patriarchy. That makes me laugh because true biblical Christianity doesn't have a thing to do with skin color. People say, well, you serve a white Jesus, or they'll tell other groups you serve a black Jesus, or no, we just serve Jesus Christ. It doesn't have a thing to do with skin color. Let me read on what she said here. She says, a plethora of insults, mockery, and anger are hurled at the church, the ones that are preaching the truth, along with memes stating, I regret saving myself for marriage. Can you imagine memes saying, I regret saving myself for marriage, because now deconstructionism says sex before marriage is okay. I posted something here on my Facebook page not too long ago, and there was no personal intent behind it. It was just a blanket statement talking about sex before marriage being fornication. And I headlined that post by saying, over the years, over the almost 20 years of ministry, that I've heard Christians make statements. They say, well, sex before marriage is okay because you try on a pair of shoes before you buy them, or you try on a pair of jeans or a shirt before you buy them. And they use that as justification. This is what deconstructionism does, folks. It uses these things. It uses simple little analogies and simple little things that we have in our everyday life and try to justify their sinful lifestyle based on these things. And say, well, God may talk about fornication. God may talk about sexuality of all types, homosexuality, bisexuality, gender fluidity. God may speak against those things, but, you know, it's the 21st century and, you know, God understands. Me and God, we've got our own thing going. Do you? Keep reading here. Let me go back. It says, a plethora of insults, mockery, and anger are hurled at the church, along with memes stating, I regret saving myself for marriage, and good morning, it's a great day to leave your non-affirming church. Folks, I'm sorry, but I will not affirm your sin. If it goes against the word of God, it goes against the word of God. God is the final supreme authority when it comes to sin. He's the final supreme authority when it comes to unrighteousness and unholiness. He's the final supreme authority when it comes to holiness and righteousness. Let's keep going here. I'm going to give you something here now, folks. I'm going a little bit longer with this today. I normally try to limit the podcast to about a half hour, but we're going to just run with this today. I'm not even through my first page of information here. From my viewpoint, and my viewpoint only, this modern deconstruction movement has two end results. Number one, it will push people into full-blown atheism eventually, to the point where they will question, does God even really exist? One thing that was fascinating to me when I started doing some research and reading some of Elisa Childers' writings was the pastor, this progressive, and I don't even know how we got onto this kick about why we say that's progressive, but we'll just go with it because that's what she says, this progressive Christian pastor. I don't see how progressivism or extreme anti-God left-wing liberalism, and I'm not trying to get onto a political kick here. I'm just talking about this group of society today that does not honor God's word, does not even honor God, does not honor marriage between one biologically born man and one biologically born woman. This thing that says there's how many dozens of genders now, this thing that says that anything goes, that to me, that's not progressive. That's extreme anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Bible. But she said this progressive Christian pastor, she said that he, by his own admission, was an agnostic pastor. He believed in something, he just didn't know what that something was. This deconstructionism, folks, again, this is my opinion, is eventually it will push people into full-blown atheism to the point where they'll question, does God even really exist? Now, another individual that I've become acquainted with in the last year, I have a few of his books in my library. The other option, the other outcome that I see in this is what Pastor Craig Groeschel calls Christian atheism. Now, I've got a book of his here in front of me called The Christian Atheist. And I want to read a quote to you, give a little bit of background on this from Pastor Groeschel's book, The Christian Atheist, Believing in God but Living as If He Doesn't Exist. I mean, if you'd go down through some of these chapter titles, I'll just give you a couple. When you believe in God but won't forgive. When you believe in God but still worry all the time. When you believe in God but trust more in money. And one that hit me pretty hard, when you believe in God but not in prayer. You know, folks, I'll be the first to tell you that my prayer life, I could use a little bit of an increase. Not that I don't pray, but the Holy Spirit has checked me. Am I praying enough? Am I communicating with God daily enough? We're instructed according to the Word of God to pray without ceasing. Now, I don't want to get off into my little thing here. Listen, we're to confess our faults to each other so we know how to pray for each other. So you pray for me. I had a good prayer time this morning, as a matter of fact, just me and God in my living room. Now, let me get back to what Pastor Groeschel talks about in this book. Listen, this is just the beginning. This is the very first part before the introduction. It's called A Letter to the Reader. Pastor Groeschel talks about two experiences he had with total strangers on airplanes, and both of them were atheists, and the one was a staunch atheist and was really, really didn't care about mocking Christianity. But then he talks about the second one. He talks about this young lady named Michelle. And she was talking about her coming up in a Christian home, coming up in a Christian environment. I believe she came up in a Christian home. I know that she started talking later on that, you know, she where she became a Christian. And then some things happened as she got older. So I don't want to misquote this girl's story, but I just want to read this to you. He talks about, he says, before our plane took off, she struck up a conversation, somewhat nervous about flying. She seemed eager to talk, as if the chat might make the flight pass more quickly. Let's see here. He said, she asked about his life, and he says this. He said, creating a diversion from my I'm a pastor answer, I explained that I am married and have 6 children. And they joked about that a little bit. And then it says, after some more small talk, Michelle asked me what I do for a living. No longer able to dodge the inevitable, I answered, well, as a matter of fact, I'm the pastor of a church. This revelation gave Michelle permission to unleash a stream of Christian words and stories, dropping the occasional, God told me and God is good. She smiled softly as she described how she gave her life to Jesus at the age of 15 at a Christian youth camp. After praying sincerely, she was eager to get back to school to share her faith and live a life of purity and spiritual integrity. Okay, there's her background. 15 years old is where she got saved. Michelle held on to her new belief in God, but soon slipped back into her old way of life. As if in a confessional, Michelle continued pouring out her life's darker details. She looked down as she admitted that she was doing things with her live-in boyfriend that she knew she shouldn't. She told me she wanted to go to church, but was simply too busy working and studying. She did pray many nights, mostly that her boyfriend would become a Christian like she was. If only he believed in Jesus, this was her, quote, if only he believed in Jesus, then he might want to marry me, she said, wiping her tears. At last, Michelle expressed one final confession. I know my life doesn't look like a Christian's life should look, but I do believe in God. Now listen to what this little section here, listen to how Pastor Groeschel finishes this. He says, welcome to Christian atheism, where people believe in God, but live as if he doesn't exist. So folks, again, from my perspective, this modern deconstruction movement has two end results. that eventually people will be pushed into full-blown atheism, questioning the very existence of God, or they will become Christian atheists. And again, what Pastor Groschel says, that they, let me get back here and read this one more time, that they believe in God, but they live as if he doesn't exist. And folks, we see that a lot today. Now, I told you there a little bit ago what Pastor Carey here at CVMI and Crosshairs Bridgeport, what he says, that if we take the truth and put it at a center point and then start swinging a pendulum, if we go too far to one side or the other, that we start to walk in error. When we walk in error, folks, what happens is that people will turn against the basic tenets of foundational biblical doctrine. Now, again, I've been studying this deconstructionism for a few months now, off and on, and in my brief research, I'm finding that in some cases that I've witnessed personally, deconstructionism can find its roots in offense. It can find its roots in offense. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 and 10, and I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Classic translation of the Bible. It says, then they will, Jesus is speaking, he says, then they will hand you, talking about the signs of the last days, Jesus said, then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. Notice two things concerning the prophecy of the last days that Jesus speaks about here. In verse 9, he said the true followers of Christ would be hated because of their relationship simply with his name. They would be hated because of his name. Then many will become offended. The word offended in the Greek is the Greek word scandalizo, and it means to scandalize. It means to be offended by someone, to take offense at his character, words, and conduct, so as to reject him. Now, I want to say this. If you're listening today, and if myself or any other person within who works directly in a fivefold ministry, if you're offended at something that we have said, which can be backed up 100% by the Word of God, I want you to listen to me. Your offense is not with me. Your offense is not the result of people. If I have stood behind a pulpit, if you've watched me on Facebook Live, if you have been in a service where I was preaching, if you have listened to this podcast, if you have followed us at any point, and I have spoken the Word of God, and I tell our folks all the time, hold me accountable to the Word of God. If I have said something that lines up 100% with the Word of God and it has offended you, your offense is not with me. Your offense is with the Word of God. You're offended at the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5, 7 through 13, Paul writes, he says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? He says, you were running well, but somebody come along. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Let's go back and let's break this down a little bit here, folks. Verse 7, many have a difficult time looking at the reflection of self when measured against the Word of God. Let's look at what this verse says again. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And again, my question is, or my statement is, many have a difficult time looking at the reflection of themselves when they measure themselves against the Word of God. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You can't lay blame at the doorstep of a person. I told you at the very beginning when I told you my story, it wasn't people that offended me. It wasn't people that hurt me. It was a doctrine that hurt me, that didn't line up with the Word of God, that people had fallen victim to. And you know, the ones that I grew up with actually at different points in my life apologized. At different points said that, you know, as we've grown in this, as I had one pastor, one of my favorite pastors of all time said, and he was an older gentleman, he since went on to be with the Lord, he said, "Don't ever tell me an old dog can't learn new tricks." He said, "The more I study the Word of God, the more I learned that a lot of the stuff that I taught years and decades ago was because of denominational barriers under which I was brought up." Isn't that something? So, question again, who hindered you from obeying the truth? If you are questioning God, if you are questioning the Bible, if you are trying to conform God to become something in your image, who hindered you from obeying the truth? It wasn't him. He says in verse number 9, he says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." The Amplified Classic says, "A little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers leavens the whole lump. It perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church." That takes me back to what Elisa Childers said in her article. You see, she fell victim to a false teacher who caused her to think and believe something that didn't line up with biblical Christianity. And praise God, the Holy Spirit got a hold of her and brought her back into the truth. If you read her story and you listen to her talk, there was a cost that went along with it. But she came to the truth. And now she's warning other people. This girl, from what I understand about her, one time was a contemporary Christian artist, a musician, a singer. Now she's devoted her life to Christian apologetics, defending the truth of the gospel. Let me ask you this question in light of verse number 9. Who has brought willful sin into your life? You know, folks, today, people, and I'm going to show my age here, but a lot of people try to use the Flip Wilson theology. The devil made them do it. No, the devil didn't make you do anything. So we've got two questions just in verses 7 and 9. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And who has brought willful sin into your life? Folks, I could get into some really, really serious false doctrine, more than this modern deconstruction movement, this progressive, quote-unquote progressive modern deconstructionism. I could get into more than that, but I won't. Look at verse number 10. Let me ask you this question. Could it be that the one disturbing you is you? And you'll, based on the verse, you will be the one day that has to bear your own judgment? Have you ever thought about that? Look at what he says in verse 13. He says, "Don't turn your freedom in Christ into an opportunity to serve your flesh." Do not turn your freedom in Christ into an opportunity to serve your flesh. You know, the scripture says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." You realize how many people have taken that to the extreme? Well, if I'm free, this, folks, the once saved, always saved doctrine, the traditional once saved, always saved doctrine, that you pray a little prayer at some point in your life, and you're free to do whatever you want, live however you want the rest of your life. Folks, that is a lie from the very pits of hell. Our freedom in Christ does not give us a license to sin. It does not give us a license to willfully sin. Scripture says this, James 4:17, "If you know to do good and you don't do it, it counts against you as sin." Listen to what Paul says in Romans 6, verses 1, 2, 15, and 16. He says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? God forbid, or may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" Then in verse 15, he says, "What then shall we say? Or what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" You can be a servant to your flesh, to sin, or you can be a servant to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you serve yourself, whew, my God in heaven help us, it's going to result in eternal death. But if you are a servant to God, it will result in righteousness. Folks, We have to recognize the fact that the gospel is a stumbling block to some and it's foolishness to others. You need to tread carefully lest you fall into these trappings. 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 25, Paul writes, he says, "For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men." You realize how many people today, Christian preachers, and I'm going to use that again very loosely, quote unquote, Christian preachers, are on television every day telling people, well, there's other ways to God besides the cross. There's other way. Jesus is not the only way. Well, brother, sister, if you're guilty of that, I have a question for you. Who's a liar, you or Jesus? Because I read John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Don't you dare try to tell anybody that there's another way to God other than Jesus. First Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Apostle Peter writes, he says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord and coming..." Let me back up. I got crossed up here. Let me go back and start over. I skipped a couple lines. "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him,'" speaking of Jesus, "'he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. To some, Jesus Christ, the word of God, is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. But others will take this call, and they will take this gospel seriously. Go back to verse 5. He says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Trying to deconstruct the word of God is not an acceptable spiritual sacrifice. Now, folks, we are at the 52-minute mark. And I have some closing thoughts. I want to wind this up. I trust you've enjoyed this, and I trust you've learned some things from this. But some closing thoughts. I want to go back to Matthew 24:10 and read that again to you out of the Amplified. It says, "Then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him, Jesus, whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred." So the offense, they are offended at Jesus Christ. They are offended at the word of God. Then they stumble. Then they fall. Let me back up. They are offended at him. They will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to obey. They will stumble and fall away, will begin to betray others, and they will pursue one another with hatred. Again, I say this, and I stand on this. If you're offended by someone who is wholly devoted to God and works and flows within the work of the fivefold ministry, if you're offended at what they share, what they say, what they preach, what they teach, if you're offended at me for giving you the truth of the Word of God, that I'm giving you something that is within the true context of Scripture and not a distortion. If you are offended at what I say, if you are offended at what I have shared with you here today, you don't like it and you disagree with it, you're not offended. Your offense is not with me. You are offended at the Word of God. Now I want to close with this. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Paul writing, he says, "For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain." How true that is. How true that is. I guarantee you, the ones that are teaching this false deconstruction movement of the gospel, a false gospel, I guarantee you they have appealed to the masses and they've figured out a way to bankroll themselves. Let me read on verse 12. He says, "One of themselves a prophet of their own." Notice he doesn't say a prophet of God, a prophet of their own. And how many today, how many false prophets do we have out there today? If you just find anybody online that will ordain you into an office, well, yeah, you can get a piece of paper that says you're a prophet on it. It doesn't make you a prophet. My Lord, how many times have we seen that happen, especially in the last few years? Well, I'm prophet so-and-so. I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm this. Says who? You know, every once in a while, I'll break out a goofy little saying, and I say it tongue-in-cheek. You know, the prophet or the prophetess so-and-so may have said this. But if your little piece of paper says that you're ordained, that a person ordained you, not that you were ordained by God, but a person ordained you and you're serving, your little piece of paper says you are apostle so-and-so and should be referred to as such, or you are prophet so-and-so. As the prophetess Shania Twain once said, that don't impress me much. It says, "One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith. Not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." Folks, false prophets, false teachers are among us. Deconstructionism that's pointing people to full-blown atheism or Christian atheism is alive and well. I want to encourage the fivefold, those of you that are listening today that serve in the fivefold, be on the lookout, be on guard, trust that we are praying for you. We are covering you in prayer, and we are trusting the Holy Spirit to cover you in His anointing, and that you be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you be covered in the love of the Father. I have several minister friends right now serving all across the lines of the fivefold that are getting hurt and getting wounded on a daily basis. Brother, sister, I've got your back. Ignore those wolves. Ignore those little foxes. Keep on keeping on. Keep on preaching the truth. Keep on standing up for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To those of you that are listening that may have questions, maybe you're struggling in your walk with God. Maybe you've actually encountered a portion of this deconstruction movement. I am here to help you. Please contact us. You can contact us through Calvary's Victory Ministries, or you can contact us through the church, Crosshairs Bridgeport. I want to make a recommendation real quickly to you all. For those of you that are struggling with offense, I highly encourage John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan. I mean, the subtitle of this book, The Bait of Satan, Living Free from the Deadly Trap of Offense. Read this book. Brother Bevere, the words that the Holy Spirit gave him in this book will help you get through offense. If you are struggling with believing in God but living as if He doesn't exist, Craig Groeschel's book, The Christian Atheist. Pick a copy of this book up and read it. And then Elisa Childers, the young lady that I spoke of earlier, She wrote a book, and I haven't got a chance to get into it. I've read some of the portions because she gives quotes from in her blog and in some of her interviews. She gives quotes from this book. Another Gospel Question: A Lifelong Christian Seeks Truth in Response to Progressive Christianity. That's Another Gospel by Elisa Childers. I recommend all three of these books. Folks, we need to pray for those that are falling victim to this deconstruction movement. Again, like I told you, when we deconstruct something that is man-made, that's one thing. But when man starts attempting to deconstruct something that is God-made, there's where we have a problem. Well, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of the CVMI Open Door Podcast. This is Pastor Jamie. Stick around. Our announcer is going to be coming to you shortly with some information. God bless you guys. We will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. We trust you've enjoyed your time in the Word and in fellowship with us. This podcast is available on most major platforms, so please subscribe to be up to date on new episodes and content. For more information on the ministry of CVMI, Pastor Jamie Gizzi, or the CVMI ministry team, please contact us by email at cvmiwv@gmail.com. Or find us on Facebook at CVMI Open Door Podcast. Thanks again for your prayer and support. Until next time, may God continue to richly bless you and your household.